Are you in a toxic relationship with a narcissist? If so, how would you know? How can you tell? Is it really that subtle? Well, in this video, I will share with you nearly 200 signs that you are in a toxic relationship with a narcissist.
It involves a sort of constructed reality in which the narcissist manipulates you emotionally and psychologically over a period of time. Here's the thing, it can be kind of hard to figure it out because you'll find that it's incredibly subtle and pervasive. To give you an idea of how difficult it is to see it, it took me personally 35 years to recognize that I was dealing with it. So how can you tell? How do you know if it's happening to you? Well, I'm going to help you with that right now. Please grab a pen and a piece of paper or open up a note on your phone. So I'd like you to go ahead and make a tick mark or a dot for each sign that you recognize in this list. Red flag number one, they throw out the L word a little too quickly. It's easy to get caught up in the manipulative web of a narcissist, especially when they're on their best behavior, putting you on a pedestal and idealizing you. That is almost certainly where they're going to be early in the relationship. They'll say, I love you really quickly, or they'll tell you it was love at first sight. This is often also the time they'll employ the whole love bombing technique in which you start to get that soulmate vibe. They'll start to seem like the person you've been searching for your whole life. It will seem too good to be true because sadly it is in this case. Red flag number two, they're a little too concerned for your personal well-being. Many narcissists are prone to making their romantic partners very dependent on them. They accomplish this by doing things for you, like cooking or cleaning or changing your oil, little chores, things like that, or through controlling your daily activities and even monitoring them. Early in a relationship, this could seem like genuine concern, but if you stick around, it'll turn into something very sinister. See, they want to put you in this place where they become so important in your life that you literally just can't leave them, can't let go of them, even if you want to. Then they like to control you with threats of abandonment and fear. And of course, abandonment is a basic human fear, so we all have it a little bit. And those of us who were raised by toxic people, it's even worse. Red flag number three, they want every second of your time. They're so in love with you so fast, and they just want to take so much of your time. The narcissist just cannot get enough of you, and they're not afraid to say it in the beginning. It starts with constant texts or phone calls, and before you know it, they can't stand to be away from you. They start to expect to spend time with you when they want it, and they get moody or distant if you can't be there with them when they demand it. Well, this leads me to the next red flag, of course, which is number four. They get angry when you can't see or spend time with them. You might start to feel worried about how you're going to avoid upsetting the narcissist, I mean the person you're dating, when you have other plans. So you might even stop making plans without talking to them first. This is just one more way they start to weave that web of control very early in the relationship. What first appears to be the loving desire to be together is really just the narcissist's need to control every aspect of your life. It's healthy to have friends and connections outside of your relationship with your significant other, and you should. If you give in to the need to please a narcissist and you go ahead and you wait for them to tell you what you're doing, when you're doing, etc., you're going to do yourself a huge disservice. Why? Because you're just handing over more control of you and your choices. Narcissists use their anger and your fear of being alone as a way to control your time. This, of course, can lead to them isolating you entirely from others in the future, so be careful. This brings me to red flag number five. They are extremely or excessively critical of other people in their own life. See, a narcissist often shocks you with their extreme criticisms of the people in their life. Whether it's their parents or siblings or friends or neighbors or coworkers, they've always got strong opinions about everyone and how worthy they are. And believe me, no one's immune to this. You'll find out soon enough if you haven't already. Now, if they have kids or they're involved with kids in any way, you'll see the narcissist become very controlling and critical of the kids too, alternating with seeing them as perfect reflections of themselves. Interesting, right? They might also be critical of others' parenting choices, whether or not they're actually a parent. Of course. This can also lend a glimpse into the future. This brings me to red flag number six. They treat their mother like she doesn't matter or like she can do no wrong. Now, if you happen to meet a narcissist's mother or mother figure, you might notice that they're very rude to her and that they treat her with very little respect. She might not even bat an eyelash at it, or she might playfully jab them back, depending on their relationship. But this can alternate with periods of the narcissist putting their mother up on a pedestal, idealizing her, and imagining that their relationship is perfect and that she can do no wrong. And this will especially be true when you're arguing with them later, but especially if you are involved with a male narcissist, while you initially dismiss this as just how their relationship is, and you start to consider it almost endearing. If you look a little closer or in hindsight, you might just catch a glimpse of how your future will look or sound if you stick around. Speaking of which, let's get to the next point. Red flag number seven, they claim to have a crazy ex. Oh yeah, we have all met someone who has a crazy ex. But when you've got a narcissist on your hands, you'll see early in the relationship that they almost always tell you some horror stories about the ex. They might say their ex cheated or verbally abused them. They might claim that their ex was physically abusive, often hitting them, or that they were emotionally abusive, constantly tormenting them. They might even say that the ex was very, very stupid, or any number of other things. In any case, you'll end up feeling sorry for this person, and that's their goal. Because when you feel that way, you're gonna find yourself doing literally anything you can to avoid being like the ex. This means that the narcissist is actually conditioning you by subtly telling you what they don't want. And by attaching emotional pain to those incidents, they set you up to be just like the ex when they do get past the initial love bombing phase, the idealization phase, and into the devalue phase. You will spend then the rest of your relationship following these unwritten rules without even realizing it. Which brings me to number 8. They point out all the things about you that are better than the ex. This seems like a good thing, right? But no, now that you know how awful the ex was, the narcissist is ready to start idealizing you and putting you up on a pedestal. They're gonna spend some time identifying everything about you that they just love, and those things are gonna be because they're so different from the ex. And you will see, you'll go out of your way to prove that you're nothing like that crazy, horrible person. It's human nature. Of course you would. So as I mentioned, the conditioning continues and the narcissist wins. You will be fully in place and set up to try to start conforming yourself to the narcissist's desires. And this, guess what? It's another way they begin to take control of you. That brings me to number 9. They've got a great sob story, and my goodness, they are not afraid to tell it. That's right. A narcissist often has a great sob story to tell, or several. Maybe their parents died when they were young, or this awful ex cheated on them, or maybe they lost everything and somehow they overcame it. Or they survived an abusive childhood or some other big tragedy. Whatever the story is, you probably heard it on or around your first date. The narcissist would have pretended to open up to you, to share their deep, dark feelings. You might have totally fallen for it and then quickly developed an almost protective feeling toward that person. Now, this is where it gets kind of weird. The narcissist does this for a couple of different reasons. First, because your pity and your feeling of protectiveness gives them narcissistic supply. And worse, they want to then draw you in and make you want to take care of them. And you know what that is, right? Oh yes, it's another way the narcissist wants to control you. I know you're shocked. This brings me to my next point, red flag number 10. The narcissist remains blameless in all situations. That's right. In general, narcissists are unable to accept responsibility for anything ever for their behaviors and the effect of these behaviors on the people around them. They just don't care. Early in a relationship, they will often tell stories in which they are the innocent victim, where they're being used, abused, screwed over by someone. Yes, the narcissist loves the poor me game, also known as narcissistic injury. Since the narcissist is playing a victim, you will find yourself playing the hero once again. You'll want to protect them or take care of them by constantly reassuring them of your loyalty, honesty, dedication, devotion, etc. And guess what? The narcissist, they get a little more control of your world. Of course, as the relationship moves forward, they're going to start blaming you, and you will become their favorite new scapegoat if you stick around. So be warned. That brings me to number 11. They claim to have a whole bunch of special accomplishments. They really need you to praise them. When a narcissist is not whining about their poor little me thing and heralding their ability to survive such terrible odds and whatnot, they're probably telling you fantastic stories about themselves and their friends. Of course, at first, you love the stories and you don't realize that they're so well rehearsed and probably only half true. Over time, you'll hear the same stories again and again and again, and potentially in various iterations. And if you don't listen and act super interested and praise them appropriately, well, you can expect that they just might throw a little narcissistic rage and a little more injury your way. And my friend, this never ends. So if you're going to try to stick it out with this person, just be prepared to be forced to heap praise on them forever. Talk about emotionally exhausting. That brings me to red flag number 12. They might have substance abuse or porn addiction issues. Not all narcissists are substance abusers, and not all substance abusers are narcissists. And that's the same deal for any type of addict. But if you're dating a substance abuser or a porn addict, you might want to take a second look and peek a little deeper. Even so, you're probably not going to see this early in a relationship unless you're really watching for it. So be careful. A lot of narcissists do deal with drug and alcohol problems, as do many abuse victims, just for different reasons. A large percentage do have issues with porn addiction. Now, this might be due to the fact that they need attention or they like excess everything, or it might be because most narcissists secretly hate themselves and need to kind of numb out on the regular. Either way, it's a red flag and an indication that the person you're dating is quite toxic. Which brings me to lucky number 13. They somehow always bring the subject back to themselves. Me, 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 it's all about me. The narcissist rarely stops singing their own praises. Now, at first, you might have even thought it was a little bit cute how self-confident they were, or they seemed anyway. But now it's kind of getting annoying. Maybe you read some dating advice somewhere that told you to make it all about that other person in the beginning, and sometimes it actually works. I mean, after all, who doesn't like to talk about themselves a little bit? But when they don't try to learn about you, or even when they just keep interrupting every story you tell with a story of their own, it's a big red flag. Now, you have to remember, narcissists are well known for their inability to listen to anything or anyone that they deem less than or unworthy of their precious attention, and they tend to wait while you speak rather than actually listen to what you're saying. They're just waiting for their turn to say whatever it is they want to say. They don't hear you and can't hear you. And often, whatever they've said doesn't actually follow the conversation because they weren't listening at all. And I hope the irony isn't lost on you when I tell you this next part, because if they don't have the opportunity to talk during a conversation or to say as much as they want, they might interject or even get upset and pout. And as the relationship goes on, they will literally start to tell you that they just don't care what you have to say and nearly require you to listen to them, even sort of quizzing you afterward to check that you were listening to them. Yes. That brings me to number 14. They are oddly and easily upset by small things. Yeah, even though the narcissist attempts to keep their childish ways under wraps during your courtship, if you look closely enough, you're gonna see little signs of toxic narcissism peeking through. And one of the most obvious is that they are quickly, easily, and excessively upset about things that don't really matter to most people. For example, they might be overly rude to waiters and salespeople, or they might treat the lawn guy with contempt. They take things very personally and enact unreasonably harsh reactions. At first, you might figure it's righteous anger, right? And you go about trying to support them emotionally and provide them the love they've been missing. You think you can fix them, and you really, really try hard. Maybe for years, and in some cases, decades. But my friend, you cannot fix a narcissist. You see, while it's possible for a narcissist to change in theory, it doesn't actually happen, ever. I'll put a link in the description to explain why, but they don't change is the bottom line, at least not for the better. And your fears are used against you. Narcissists can be very charming, at least when they want to be. A lot of times they're going to listen to every word you have to say, and they're going to file away any vulnerabilities you reveal for later use. And this is especially going to be true early in the relationship, where they're going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out who you are, and it's going to feel really awesome to you at the time, but later it's going to come back and bite you. They will also do this throughout the relationship. For example, let's say you told the narcissist that you felt insecure about your weight. Well, in that case, the narcissist might later make discreet pokes at you about that. Or if you're in a romantic relationship, they might make comments about other people who are thinner than you. In any case, the narcissist is out to feel better than you and to make you doubt yourself at the same time. So they have an ultimate goal, and that is, as I said, to make you doubt yourself. So you become what? More dependent on the narcissist. That brings me to number 2. You don't know your own mind anymore. Some narcissists are going to claim that they know what you or other people are thinking. If you actually deny that you're thinking the way they say you're thinking, the narcissist might say you're lying. And in some cases, they might even accuse you of lying to yourself. See, because of course, as narcissists, they can't possibly be wrong, so that must be the case. That brings me to number 3, you don't know what's normal anymore. Listen, if you're regularly being told that things are normal when deep down you know for sure that they're not, you're probably getting gaslighted. For example, let's say your toxic boss says to you, hey, can you just lie to that client about the safety of that item so we don't have to give them a refund or whatever? Well, when you refuse, you might be told that all employees lie on behalf of their employers, and if you don't want to be a team player, maybe you need to go find a new job. That brings me to number 4, you're diagnosed with major issues. That's because when a narcissist is lying to or manipulating you and they're not getting their way, what are they going to do? They're going to turn up that intensity by questioning your sanity. They might call you paranoid or stressed out or too sensitive or even hormonal. They might tell you that you need therapy or you need medicine or whatever to get through it. Again, it's all about them being in control. See, the narcissist is going to do or say anything they can to stay on top of the game. That brings me to number 5, you start to doubt your own beliefs, your experiences, and your perceptions. Listen, if you're being told that what you know to be true is just not real, there's a problem. For example, let's say your narcissist mother tells you that your significant other is a loser and you need to dump them. Well, after a while, you might start to notice little things around the edges and you might start to believe it. And then you might end up sabotaging your relationship because you start to question your own judgment thanks to the regular conditioning that you got from your mother. That brings me to number 6. You can't remember anything anymore. The narcissist is infamous for selective memory. So they're going to deny that they said something that upset you, especially if you confront them on it, sometimes right in the same moment. Or maybe they're going to promise to do something and later tell you that they never made that promise. I never said that. They might also use creative language to downplay their behavior and pretend like your reaction was totally out of line. And number 7, you might lie to keep the peace. By nature, you're not a liar, and in general, you are pretty honest in your life. But because of the extreme stress caused each time you anger or upset the narcissist, you might find yourself at least bending the truth a little in order to avoid the reaction of the narcissist that is sure to follow any discussion or situation that is against the narcissist's little rules. That brings me to number 8. You stop trying to be heard. As humans, we are programmed to share our experiences and our thoughts with the people in our lives. But when you are dealing with a narcissist and there are signs that you're being gaslighted, you might notice that you eventually kind of give up. You stop talking about yourself around the narcissist, and depending on the depth of your relationship with this person, you might even stop talking about yourself altogether. You might even forget how to talk about yourself. And you'll notice that because one day when someone asks you a question about yourself, you don't even know what to say. You forgot who you were. Sadly, that brings me to number 9. You start thinking maybe you really are the crazy one. The intensity of a narcissist manipulation tactics can really get to you. And when you are out there looking for a solution or just any way to end the argument or disagreement, you might find yourself convinced that the narcissist is right, and that there might really be things you could be doing better. And maybe you start to think that maybe the narcissist's behavior was a logical reaction to your mistakes. You ask yourself, am I really the one who owes them an apology? And then you apologize anyway, because that's the easiest thing to do. And when the narcissist, if the narcissist accepts your apology, they'll only do so long enough to hold on to it so they can throw it back in your face later. Which brings me to number 10, you're emotionally exhausted. As a narcissist wears you down, you're going to become depressed and anxious. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to always question yourself, and you're going to start to feel really hopeless. If you're in this situation, you might feel exhausted from the roller coaster ride you've been on with this narcissist. You might even think that you're just a little oversensitive, but that's because the narcissist is subjecting you to these tactics. You probably feel a little confused, and you start to think you're kind of out of it. You're disoriented. And thanks to all of those references to your paranoia and memory issues or whatever, you might find yourself seeking help for depression rather than the actual issue, the gaslighting narcissist in your life. Well, there are 12 common behaviors that spouses and partners of narcissists tend to report. They are as follows. Number 1, it feels like you're the one doing most of the work in the relationship. Number 2, your partner does things to sort of sabotage the relationship and prevent it from moving forward, but they don't want to let you go either. Number 3, your partner has episodes of excessive and often unjustified anger, sometimes even infidelity, and he or she somehow makes it all your fault. Number 4, the relationship is mostly focused around your partner's interests and activities, and when it's not, there will be an ugly outburst or argument. Number 5, you feel controlled or manipulated by your partner's moods to the point that you might feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time, like you're a servant to the narcissist's whims. Number 6, you might find yourself covering up, explaining, or apologizing for their behavior. Number 7, your partner might make one-sided decisions that impact your safety and well-being. Number 8, you might feel unsafe because of some of the actions that your partner takes. Number 9, your partner will refuse to see your good intentions, always blaming you for every situation, always making you admit you're wrong, even when that's not the case. Number 10, you sometimes find yourself desperately trying to remember the times when your partner showed love for you, when they acted like you could do no wrong, as is often the case in the early parts of the relationship when the love bombing is happening. Number 11, you feel emotionally exhausted, often completely drained by how hard you have to work to make or keep your partner happy. And number 12, your partner might have a history of troubled relationships and/or addictions. Between the gaslighting, the love bombing, and the flying monkeys, you end up forgetting your own identity as you desperately try to become the version of yourself that might make the narcissist happy. But even if you manage to completely change and morph yourself into the narcissist's idea of the imagined perfect person, it never matters. Here's a painful truth for you, and I hope you take it in the spirit in which it is intended. You will never be enough for a narcissist. It's a harsh reality that we all have to understand. But when it comes to the narcissist and their perception of you, you can never be enough. Even if you completely focus every bit of your energy on that person, he or she will always look somewhere else for something else, anything to increase their own supply of attention. No matter how amazing you are, and you are amazing, it will never be enough for a narcissist because it's never been about you. Don't let yourself be confused here. It is not you. You are not the problem. It's absolutely not about you. It's about the way the narcissist's convoluted mind works. And you can't take personal responsibility for the broken person you're dealing with. You just have to find a way to self-confidence and peace outside of the narcissist. The fact is that since the narcissist is so personally broken on the inside, nobody on earth is ever going to fill the endless hole of need the narcissist carries around. At least not for long. There are so many manipulation tactics that most narcissists have in common that most of their victims say reading about the abuse that they've suffered can feel like reading their own stories, even when it's my story or your story. Their tactics are underhanded and sneaky and often undetectable. And yet, these tactics can sometimes be so definable that even a child can learn to recognize them. Narcissists can be incredibly painfully rude, mean, and even downright abusive in the way that they speak to you, treat you. But why is it so easy for them? What is it about these cluster B personalities or their disorders that allow them to treat people so horribly without even a second thought? Why are narcissists so cruel to you but so kind to others? Why does the narcissist show their charming side to strangers while you get stuck with having to put up with all the BS? Let's talk about it. Number one, familiarity breeds contempt for narcissists. It's simple, really. People who don't know the narcissist well are only going to see the nice, charming side because the narcissist can't trust that they'll feed their ego otherwise. But you, my friend, you have proven yourself to be a nice, reliable source of supply. And let's not forget the fact that you have, on occasion, had the nerve to attempt to get your own wants and needs met. Obviously, this would anger a narcissist and create resentment since they see you as an extension of themselves rather than a whole person. So if your needs and your wants aren't in line with what they believe they should be, well, there goes the resentment. It soars. And if there's so much resentment, well, then they no longer have a reason to share their charming side with you. In fact, they are abusive and cruel as a way to punish you for no longer feeding their ego by expressing that you have wants and needs as well. So remember that the narcissist is extremely egotistical, very entitled, and will do whatever they can to get what they want at your expense. This leads to their devaluing you, and in many cases can also lead to permanent or temporary discard, but we'll get to that in a minute. In any case, it isn't quite that simple. There are so many other factors to consider, which brings me to number two. They have no empathy. Really, the first and most obvious reason that narcissists are cruel to you is their lack of empathy. But why then are they able to be kind to other people who aren't you? Well, it shouldn't make sense, but for narcissists, it's all about the attention and the supply that they can get from other people. You might have become old news or too available to them. They see you regularly and they know you've seen behind the mask, so you can't fool them anymore. Others will still be enamored with their false selves. So it makes sense and makes it far more exciting for the narcissist to get supply from other people when they can. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper into this in just a minute, but for now, let's talk about the psychological component that everyone forgets. Number three, they won't take responsibility. In addition to the marked lack of empathy that narcissists display, they really have a hard time accepting emotional responsibility in any relationship. Therefore, they don't see any reason to be nice to you unless they can see a way that doing so benefits them directly. And while they won't take responsibility for their hurtful behavior, they also lack the ability to become truly attached to you in a healthy way, which further distances them emotionally. So when they're mean to you, when they're cruel to you, rather than acknowledging and admitting it, and doing what they can to make up for it, narcissists will ignore you, or worse, get even crueler and start to say things like, can't you ever be happy? And oh, look, here comes the dark cloud. And speaking of the inability to create healthy attachments, number four, they lack object constancy. Have you ever heard about the Freudian theory of object constancy? Freud's theory basically means that most people have the ability to still have a positive emotional bond with someone when they're feeling angry, hurt, or disappointed with them at the same time. In other words, your average person is capable of loving someone and still being angry with them at the same time. Narcissists don't have this ability. So they literally aren't able to love you and be angry in the same moment. So when they're angry with you, they can't love you. Simple. Number four, the preconditioning factor. You know the narcissist a little too well. The narcissist has spent months or years manipulating, controlling, and conditioning you to accept their abuse. As a result, you know them better than most people, and you're sadly pretty used to dealing with their behavior. This, in healthier relationships, is a good thing. But since you're already in the position of being a narcissistic supply, the narcissist feels comfortable with you. lucky you, right? That means you're among the privileged few who get to see the true face of the narcissist. Wearing their mask or being their false self in public is exhausting, so when they're behind closed doors with a preconditioned supply, their true selves can come out and play. That also means you become their emotional dumpster, and they take out all of their feelings and trash, frustration and anger on you, even though for the most part, it's bottled up stuff that isn't related to you. Which brings me to number 5, the idealization phase. Narcissists have a typical relationship cycle in which they begin by idealizing you, where they love bomb you and treat you like you're worth your weight in gold, you know, the pedestal. But inevitably, something happens and then they recognize that in fact you're a flawed human like everyone else, and gosh darn it, this is about the time they start to actively devalue you. Now at first, it'll be little subtle insults and jabs, but before long, they will be directly mean, disrespectful, and outright rude, which leads to the discard phase in which they abandon you either emotionally or actually, or both. This can take the form of the silent treatment, ghosting, or even actually ending the relationship. Worse, it can happen over and over for literally decades in the same relationship, and this, my friend, explains one more reason that narcissists are so cruel to you and kind to everyone else. Because they are, or could be, in the idealization phase with anyone they don't know very well at any given moment. And in many cases, people who do have the ability to set firm boundaries with the narcissist, at least from the beginning, they're automatically going to walk away if the narcissist gets too rude or disrespectful. And the narcissist knows it. I'm going to help you find out if you are being emotionally abused by a narcissist by asking yourself the following questions. Does someone in your life act like you don't matter to them? Act like you're faking it if you're sick, or even say so out loud? Do they act really jealous and possessive sometimes? Do they always expect you to take care of their feelings but never concern themselves with yours? Do they always heart or love photos and videos of people of the same or opposite sex or whatever they're into on social media? Do they always hide their phone from you? Do they make you wonder if you're crazy? Do they always push and cross your boundaries? Do they always seem to kick you when you're down? Do they threaten to end your relationship or become angry or sullen if you don't go along with their demands? Do they become overly critical of everything about you when you don't do what they want or behave in ways that cause you to make excuses to other people for them? Do they become excessively pushy or forceful about sex or even hurt you? Do they belittle your accomplishments or blatantly lie to you about yourself and then expect you to go along with it? Do they call you lazy when you're not feeling well and you can't keep up with your usual schedule? Do they cause damage and/or give away or steal your personal property? Do they cause you to apologize for things that you really shouldn't apologize for? Do they cause you to sometimes become anxious about confronting them about, well, literally anything? Do they make you feel like you're losing interest in your life or cause you to not want to do things you used to enjoy? Do they compare you to other people or compete with you over silly things? Do they ever completely ignore you just because it's convenient for them to do so? Do they consider themselves the boss of everything and insist on making all the decisions in your relationship or your family or even your life? Do they ever threaten to abandon you? Do they disappear for hours or days and weeks even, or longer, without explaining why? Do they dismiss you when you're hurting, emotionally or physically? Do they constantly do things that they know make you uncomfortable? Do they drink excessively or take drugs and then blame their awful behavior on alcohol, drugs, or even their own history of abuse or tragedy from childhood? Do they embarrass you in front of your friends or your extended family members? Do they expect more of people than is really appropriate? For example, getting upset if, like, the mailman forgets their birthday? Do they expect you to ask permission to do stuff like you're a child? Do they expect you to kind of just get over it if a tragedy happens in your life? Do they feel entitled to spending your money or to your attention and your unconditional respect regardless of how they treat you? Do they feel like they have the right to control you financially? Do they forbid you from doing things? Do they force you to account for your time when you're not with them? Do they get mad at you for things you can't control, like someone liking your picture on social media? Do they ever get excessively angry without warning or over little tiny things? Do they get upset if you need to spend money on things for yourself or your kids or the house when they want to spend it on themselves instead? Do they sometimes ghost you? Do they ever give you the silent treatment when you don't do what they want? Do they sometimes go dark or not answer you or return your texts when they're away from home? Do they get into your social media accounts and question everything you're doing? Do they go through your mail or hack your email or your Facebook account or go through your personal belongings? Do they harass you when you're away from them because you have to be somewhere, such as work or school? Do they have a whole bunch of so-called friends on social media they seem to just flirt with? Do they have rules that you're required to follow even though they never told you this and you're a full-grown adult? Do they have secret dating profiles or social media profiles that you're not supposed to know about? Do they have the whole Jekyll and Hyde thing happening, where one side of them seems totally charming and even sweet and loving, and the other side is mean and spiteful and downright hurtful? Do they have weird sexual issues, or do they humiliate you in public or in groups of people? Do they isolate you and prevent you from spending time with friends or family members? Do they leave you hanging when you're counting on them? Are they always lying about you to other people? Do they look through your phone whenever they want to? Do they make a point of telling you how very unattractive you are, or of pointing out your flaws? Do they always make everything all about them? Do they make excessive or unreasonable demands for your attention, even to the detriment of your other responsibilities? Do they make threats about how they will ruin you or otherwise cause trouble for you at work or with your family or others? Do they make you afraid or unwilling to talk about yourself? Do they make you afraid to make a decision without getting their approval? Do they make you afraid to tell them your feelings or to express your feelings at all? Do they make you do things that you feel are unethical or morally wrong? Or do they make you do things you just don't want to do? Do they make you doubt your sanity or make you dread spending time with them? Do they ever make you feel completely worthless? Do they make you feel guilty for anything and everything? Do they make you feel jealous by complimenting and flirting with others in front of you? Do they ever make you feel like hurting yourself? Do they make you feel like you need to prioritize them and their needs above yours? Do they make you feel like you need to earn their love and loyalty, or make you feel like your opinions are not worth expressing or hearing? Do they make you feel like your whole reality is twisted, or make you feel like you're always sort of on guard and hypervigilant to their moods? Do they make you feel like you're always on edge, or make you feel like you're living in some kind of limbo? Do they make you feel like you're not allowed to say no, or make you feel terrible anytime you spend time with them? Do they make you feel ugly, stupid, or otherwise unsavory, or make you feel uncomfortable about spending time with your family or your friends or anyone else? They make you feel unheard. Do they make you forget who you are sometimes? Do they make you go without things that you actually need, like food and personal care items? Do they make you hate vacation? Do they make you regret your accomplishments instead of lifting you up when you do something good? Do they make you responsible for maintaining the relationship while also making it feel impossible to do so? Do they make you the scapegoat for all the arguments and problems in your relationship? Do they make you wish you were dead? Do they make you wonder if you're even a real person, or make you feel like you're always walking on eggshells and living in constant stress and anxiety? Or do they make you feel like you're always living in fear? Do they manipulate you with the constant threat of their mood changes and their impending rage? Do they ever minimize your feelings or act like your feelings don't matter? Do they always fail to apologize to you unless they're trying to get something from you? Do they seem to never concern themselves with your needs, ever? Do they pick you apart and nitpick you? Do they play games with your head? Do they tell lies in order to confuse you or blame you for something you didn't do? Do they play the poor me game anytime they don't get what they want? Do they pressure you to use alcohol or even other drugs when you say no? Do they ever refuse to admit wrongdoing, or if they do admit it, it's only so they can blame it on someone else? Do they refuse to allow you any privacy? Do they take your money? Do they refuse to allow you access to your money, or not allow you to work if you want to work? Do they refuse to be nice to you? Do they not get a job and require you to pay for everything while they do nothing? Do they refuse to make plans with you, or if they do, do they cancel them at the last minute? Will they never post a photo of you and them on social media? Do they require you to do things for them, like housework or laundry or other kinds of support, without doing anything for you, without reciprocation of any kind? Do they ruin all the holidays for you? Do they ruin your birthday every year? Do they ruin your day when they've had a negative experience outside of you, like at work or somewhere else? Do they seem like they just ruin your plans every time? Do they ever say overly critical things about your body or your appearance? Do they say super mean things to you, and when you get upset, they claim they were just joking? Do they say they know what you're thinking even when they clearly don't? Do they tell you they know more about you than you know about you, or that they know you better than you know yourself? Do they ever say things that don't make sense and then get angry when you point that out to them? Do they say things to intentionally confuse you? Do they say you're mad at them when you've shown no indication of this, and then they get mad at you for not admitting that you're mad? Do they seem to find reasons to rage at you even when you literally do everything the way they want it? Do they seem to have impossible standards, like they're allowed to do whatever they want to do, but you're not allowed to do what you want to do? Do they start arguments with you or others in your life through gossip or other forms of manipulation, kind of triangulate you? Do they steal or hide money from your family accounts? Do they take control of everything in your life? Do they ever take credit for something you've done that's good, or something that was recognized by someone else in a positive light? Do they take out anger about other things on you? Do they take your paycheck? Do they tear down your friends? Do they tell or imply to others that they're interested in them while they're in a relationship with you? Do they directly or indirectly imply to other people that they are interested in them sexually? Do they tell you how to dress, directly or indirectly? Do they tell you that no one else will ever love you, or that you're just unlovable? Did they tell you that you'd be nothing without them? Did they tell you you're too sensitive all the time? Do they threaten to hurt themselves if you threaten to leave them? Do they threaten to hurt themselves when they don't get their way? Do they ever threaten to take your children away from you if you have any? Do they threaten you with physical harm or make you feel afraid of how they're going to react when you speak or act in general? Do they triangulate you with other people in your life, pitting you against one another? Do they try to control every second of your day, or do they seem like they want to get revenge on you if you make them angry? Do they try to pit your kids or your other family members against you or each other? Do they constantly steal your thunder, as in steal your spotlight anytime the attention's on you? Do they ever use religion to belittle you and or control you? Do they use your insecurities against you, or do they withhold affection in order to punish you? Now, I'd like to ask you to go ahead and count up the number of tick marks that you have. How many of those signs could you relate to? And what would you add to my list? If you are going through narcissistic abuse, many of these signs will resonate with you. Probably not all of them, because there are different types of narcissists and they do have different behaviors. If you visit my website, queenbeing.com, there is a test right on the front page that you can take to find out if your relationship is toxic. Once you've taken the test, you will be directed to free resources that will help you start the healing process or continue it if you need to. You'll also be directed to another assessment that will help you figure out what level of recovery that you're in. And make sure you take a look at the playlist I'm going to put for you right here, as well as in the description below. And that is going to give you so much more information about what you can do to begin to heal and how you can take your life to the next level at this point. Most importantly, please know this is not your fault. You are not crazy. You are going through something that many people have gone through, but you might not know anyone in your real life who's gone through it. And if you do, they probably aren't talking about it, because the fact is, it's not something that most people are proud of. I know when I was in a toxic relationship with a narcissist, I felt embarrassed and ashamed that I was doing that. I thought I was too smart. I should have known better. I should have seen through it. And yet I fell for it. And the thing is, that happens to most of us. Most people who are in these types of relationships are intelligent, relatively attractive, and someone who's worth knowing and worth loving. My guess is that you're one of those people too. If you can relate to this, please hit the subscribe button and stick with me. This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, could you relate to the signs that I shared here? And if so, about how many? And what would you add to my list? Make sure you take a look at the resources I mentioned. I will leave links in the description below for all of them so that you can begin your healing journey for free. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.